So you remember last study we were discussing the prayer of Apostle Paul found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Now we have two prayers of Apostle Paul in book of Ephesians chapter 1 and then in chapter 3. So today's our passage is chapter 3 verses 14 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 to 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's a very beautiful prayer of Apostle Paul. I'm sure we need to study this passage in detail, but I won't be going to study in detail. I will just discuss it for one day, within one day. It's interesting to notice that Apostle Paul's, these two prayers are in the same passage. Passage means, the outline of Apostle Paul's Ephesians. First three chapters have to do with the wealth of a Christian, and the next three chapters have to do with the, what? The walk and warfare. Walk and warfare of a Christian. So in the beginning, that is in chapter 1, along with explaining the wealth of a Christian, he made a prayer. Then by the end of that discussion, that means explaining the wealth of a Christian, in the end again, he makes a prayer. So both these prayers are very interesting. Many Bible students and Bible teachers, actually, whenever we think of Paul's prayers, we all go to Ephesians and Colossians. I don't think anybody will go to Corinthians or Romans where Paul's prayers are found. So that much well known is the passage from Ephesians and Colossians. Rich, spiritual truth are found there. And I have made a chart, this will give you an idea. First prayer and the second prayer of Apostle Paul. In the first prayer, Paul's emphasis, he said, God may open your eyes, enlightenment. You may get enlightenment so that you may know. But in the second prayer we are going to see, it's not enlightenment. Then what is that? Enablement or empowerment. Enablement. You should know, that is in the first prayer. You should get light, but now you should get life. Light, you should know. You should know about the things that you have. But now, in the second prayer, Paul says, you should experience the life of Christ. And you should enjoy all what you have. And you should know what you have in the first prayer. I pray that you may know. You may know why God has saved you, the purpose behind the salvation and so on. But in the second prayer, his prayer, his emphasis is, you should enjoy or benefit from what you know about. You know that you have certain things. But Paul says that is not enough. Knowledge is not enough. You need to experience. Then he says in another aspect we can say, in the first prayer it is power available. Exceeding power of God is available for a Christian, for a believer. In the second prayer, Paul's prayer is, power is working in us. Working for us, working in us. You should experience it. And the first prayer, the emphasis is, you are in Christ. And the second prayer, it is, Christ Christ in you, Christ living in you, and you can enjoy him. So the substance, the sum and substance of the second prayer is, or the contrast of this prayer is, ignorance is bad, of course, but awareness is not enough. Ignorance is very bad. You should know, but knowledge is not enough. You should experience, you should enjoy all that God has intended for us, all the resources that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you look at your Bible and find out the topics of the prayers. What are the topics there? Prayer matters. How many prayer matters are there? Now look in your Bible. You see, Paul's prayer for the second time. What are the topics? What are the matters for which he is praying? Number one, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's the first one. Very clear. You may be strengthened in the inner man. Now I told you I want to finish the whole passage. So we shall see the whole outline. Yeah? Then we'll go one by one. What is the second one? Second prayer point? Just the other one, next one, verse 17. Christ may dwell in your hearts. Very clear. My prayer for you, Ephesians, that you should be strengthened in your inner man, then Christ may dwell in your hearts. That is number two. Number three, verse 17 again, being rooted and grounded in love. You should be rooted and grounded in love. That means you should be established. You should be established in love of Christ. We'll come back. And verse 18, again, part of 18 and 19, the fourth prayer point of Apostle Paul is, you should know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And finally, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, there are five things. I'm sure so wonderful things, you know. Rich spiritual ideas are there. Meanings are there. As I told you about the first prayer, here also we can see a connection. It's not just five different topics. Each one is connected to the other. One, you know, it's very clear it is. When we look at the prayer points, you know, just see all the prayer points, be strengthened. You see? Yeah, be strengthened in the inner man. That leads to what? Christ dwelling in our hearts. I'll explain later on. And that will lead to rooted and grounded in love. And then to comprehend the love of Christ, be filled. Or in other word, which is the last one? Number five, be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the ultimate purpose of Paul. Paul's ultimate purpose in prayer is, you may be filled with God. I'll come there. So I think the most essential, which is the most important thing, among these five different prayer points, which is the most important thing? The ultimate goal of Paul's prayer is, be filled with the fullness of God. I'll come back, I'll explain that. But before that, what is necessary? All the four things are necessary. So that means number five we experience as a result of number four, and number four we experience as a result of number three, and two as a result of number one, and for all the four things we need the experience of number one. So which is the most essential thing? Be strengthened in the inner man. I believe that is where we need to dwell more. But before we go there, we shall see the four things first. And that also we shall see the last one first, then we'll go that way. Okay? So the first thing, what is the first thing? As I told you from verse 19, Apostle Paul's ultimate prayer point for the people, the believers in Ephesus. You must be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, is it possible for a Christian? I think it's individually as well as collectively. Paul is writing to the church, the assembly. So it is applicable individually as well as a local church. So Paul's prayer is, I pray you must be filled with all the fullness of God. Now what does it mean by fullness of God? What do you understand by fullness of God? I think fullness of God speaks of all what God is, referring to the qualities of God, the attributes of God, or the nature of God, all those qualities God has, the fullness of God. And that fullness of God may be, you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now my question is it possible? Now I should not give you more trouble with questions. Just I'm giving, you know, just to think about it. Is it possible for an individual to be filled with all the fullness of God? Now we know that in the book of Colossians, no need to read that, in the book of Colossians 1:19, you see it is written there, in him all the fullness of, in whom? In Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all the fullness of God dwelt bodily. That means the Lord Jesus himself said, whoever has seen me has seen God. So all the qualities of God, all the nature of God, all those essential attributes of God, everything was there in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Colossians chapter 1:29. Sorry, 1:19. You see in Ephesians 1:23, another reference, there we see the fullness of Christ dwells where? In Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of Christ fills the body of Christ, that is the church. In the church, Apostle Paul says, in the church, the fullness of Christ is dwelling. So what is the idea there? What is the idea? From Christ we understand, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of God dwelt means, whoever has seen Christ has seen God. All the qualities of Christ, sorry, God was exhibited or shown or revealed through Jesus Christ. And the same thing Apostle Paul writes about the church also. Through the church, all the qualities of Christ. He is the head. Church is the body. And through the church, Christ wants to live in and through the church. And in the same manner, when Paul says, I pray that you may be filled with the fullness of God, that what does it mean? That means you, whether individually or collectively, should experience or enjoy all the fullness. You know that when you study about God, there is about God's essential attributes. Now, we divide that attributes into two. Communicable attributes as well as incommunicable attributes. Communicable attributes means there are certain qualities of God that can be transferred or that man can experience, like the love of God, like the so many, you know, the qualities of God are communicable, but there are certain attributes of God incommunicable. Incommunicable means we can never be like God. Then we become God, you know, if it is so, we become God. So we can, when Paul says, you should be filled with all the fullness of God, that doesn't speak of the incommunicable attributes of God. God is God and we can never be God, but there are certain qualities of God that we can definitely experience, enjoy and be filled with. That's why Apostle Paul is praying. So Paul's prayer is, you should be filled with the fullness of God. You see, in Ephesians chapter 4:13, you see what is the reference? Ephesians 4:13, that is the idea there. Paul says, did we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, We may all experience the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Now I believe this experience must be, should be the highest level of Christian life. No doubt about it. See in 1 John chapter 2, 13 and 14, there we see Apostle John writing to the believers, that also in Ephesus, he says, little children, youngsters, you know, then he says, fathers. About the youngsters, he wrote two or three things. But about the fathers, how many things he says? Fathers, I write unto you, because you know the one who is from the beginning. About the young youth, he says the word of God is in you, you are strong and you are victorious and so on. And about the fathers, he says, you know the one who is from the beginning. That is the highest level of spiritual life, knowing God intimately, experiencing, enjoying all the fullness of God in a very personal manner. Beyond that, nothing else is there. So Paul, John says, you know the one who is from the very beginning. So that is the most essential aspect of Paul's prayer here. A believer must be filled with all the fullness of God. Somebody has put it, I do not know who wrote it. It was in my book. Even I myself wrote, I do not know, some time ago, or I got it from somewhere. So to be on the safe side, I want to say somebody put it like this. A person full of joy, dominated by happiness. A person full of wrath, dominated by hatred. A person full of God, dominated by God. So to be filled with the fullness of God means to be controlled by God. Then there is no self. Then there is no self-interest. Then God controls him. God and the things of God are possessing him. And that is the way God wants every Christian to live. Enjoying the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. So that is number one. But before we can experience that, what is necessary? Before a believer will be able to come to this level, enjoying the fullness of God, being filled with the fullness of God, what is necessary? That is number two. We are going from down, you know. Comprehend the love of Christ. We need to comprehend the love of Christ. See verse 18, end of verse 18 and also beginning of verse 19. He says, you should know the love of Christ. Now he mentions there, this love passes knowledge. You know, in verse 19, love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now what does it mean? Paul says, God's love is beyond human understanding. In the normal condition, natural man can never understand the love of Jesus Christ. A natural man can never understand anything of God, of course. Now here he says about the length and the depth and the height and so on. He says, you know, verse 18, the width and the length. What does it mean by the length of God's love? Length of God's love. It's not written there. I have given you only references so that you may listen to me. No. Paul says the length of Christ's love, it's beyond our understanding. Because the love of Christ, the children, they sing, you know, the love of God is so high, we can't go over it. The love of God is so deep, we can't go under it. Love of God is so wide, we can't go around it. That's true. Maybe based on these words, as Apostle Paul says, God's love, then its length. Now it may refer to the length of God's love. Maybe, I do not know. Commentators, they say, Bible teachers, they say, the length of God's love, by referring to the length of God's love, Paul may be referring to the love of God that came to us from eternity past and towards the eternity future. You know, We read in Ephesians chapter 1:4. God loved us, chosen us before the foundation of the world. That means God's love came to us from eternity past, before the foundation of the whole world. And that love goes up to eternity future. God has a plan for us in the future. We see in Ephesians 2:7, in the ages to come, He is going to show what God has done for us and God is going to do. And the depth shows how much deep were our condition, our poor state. Our poor state means, in Ephesians 2:1, read about, we were dead in sins and trespasses. And the condition of man, the depth of our state, and to where God's love reached from eternity. And the width shows what's that? All inclusive love. God loves everybody of all ages, all the tribes, all the race, all the language, Jews, Gentiles, and so on. And God's love reaches everybody. And the height refers to the highest position to which God will take. This love of God can take man to the highest position. Ephesians 2:6, we read that He has taken us to the heavenly places. So Apostle Paul says, you should know this love is beyond human understanding, so high, so its length and height and depth and width is beyond human comprehension. But Apostle Paul says, for a God's people, child of God, he can definitely experience it. Are you listening? God's love is beyond our understanding, beyond human comprehension, but we can experience God's love because Christ has loved us. So Apostle Paul says, it is my prayer that you may comprehend, you may understand, you may experience the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. Now there is one expression in between, verse 18, with all the saints. What does it mean, with all the saints? You should understand, you should comprehend the love of Christ, so vast, so high, so deep, with all the saints. Now what is the idea there? I think when I read it, with all that what is the idea with all the saints? I personally felt, with all the saints, maybe Paul wants to say, you are not alone. You are not alone. God has loved not only you. You are part of a big company. Not only one or two, or not only a small group of Christians, you see, or not only one group of Christians. God has loved so many, and we all together are part of God's great company. And that realization we need as we think of the love of Christ. So that is the second thing Paul says. Before a Christian, a believer can be filled with all the fullness of God, he needs to be gripped. He needs to be, gripped by the vastness of the love of Christ, love of God. What John says, what a foreign love by which God the Father has loved us. So that is the second, another need for a Christian to experience. Now, even before that, before he can experience the love of God, what is necessary? It's not written there. Only verses I gave. Think about it. From the passage, you look to the passage, Ephesians chapter 3. Before a Christian can experience the fullness of God, he needs to comprehend the love of Christ. Before he can comprehend the love of Christ, before he can come to experience personally the vastness of God's love, what is necessary? He needs to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Now, rooted, that word very clearly refers to roots. Building has no roots. So, roots refers to a tree, a tree drawing resources or nourishment through its roots. And the roots helps a tree to grow. You know that. And the grounder refers to, the term grounder refers to a building. A building. A building is strong, standing firm and strong on a good foundation. So the two metaphors Paul is using here, I think both the metaphors got only one idea. One idea means you should be stable, you should be firm, you should be established, you should keep on growing, you should stand firm and keep on growing, and that is rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Now we understand that at the time of conversion, as we got saved, the Lord plants us. We have been rooted in Christ. We have been placed in Christ. But Apostle Paul wants to say, the Bible says, not enough to be planted by the Lord, not enough to be placed in Christ. We need to abide. The Lord Jesus himself said, you should abide in me. Keep on, continue to keep on, rooted in Christ, drawing his life. Now in Colossians chapter 2 verse 6, similar passage it is. I think that is more clear. There we see Colossians chapter 2, 6. The Lord, Apostle Paul says, rooted in Christ. So whether it is rooted in his love, whether rooted in him, similar thing. The idea is you should stand firm on Christ and you should draw his life. Colossians 2, 6, you know it very well. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established. That is another essential aspect of experience of a Christian. Now roots, we know that for a tree, it's invisible. Invisible. Roots reminds us one thing. You just look at a tree. In Matthew's Gospel 13:6, there's a reference. There's a parable is there. We are not going that passage. There you see about the soil and the seeds. Certain plants, after a few days, withered. You remember that? What happened? Because it had no roots. It's written there. I think it is in Matthew's Gospel 13:6. No roots. So roots, even without, whether we have roots or not, or how effectively rooted we are, it's evident. It's evident as the days go by. Withered. Not growing properly. Not healthy. Not able to draw the life of Christ. So that shows the secret experience, hidden experience a believer has. Remember, we have no time to go into all those things, I have to go to complete the whole passage. Remember, don't forget, the Bible says very clearly, our effectiveness, our growth, our stability, our spiritual our spiritual life, everything is based on hidden part of our life. Our secret dealings with Christ, secret experience with Christ, in our quiet time, closed room, in our personal encounter with Christ, how much we are drawing his love, his life, his strength from him. And that will affect our spiritual life. So our spiritual life is actually based on our secret experiences with Christ. Whether we are rooted and grounded in Christ or not will be revealed as the days go by when we are going to face troubles and difficulties in our life. So Apostle Paul says three things we have seen. You should be filled with all the fullness of God, and before that you need to comprehend the love of Christ, and before that you need to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Okay, now the fourth one. Apostle Paul says in verse 17, Christ may dwell in your hearts. Christ may dwell in your... Now there is another question. Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesian assembly. They are already believers. In chapter 1, repeatedly, we read that expression there. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. A born again child of God is in Christ. Christ dwells in him. The Holy Spirit dwells in him. Indwells him. So what is the idea there? Christ may dwell in your hearts. Verse 17. What is the idea there? Just given some references there. Referred to Acts 1, Ephesians 1:3 and so on. Now what is the idea? Colossians 1:27. Paul says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself. Jesus Christ is in you, if not disqualified. So all the Bible verses says that every born again child of God is already possessing Christ. Then why should Apostle Paul say, Christ may dwell in you? In John's Gospel 14:23, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. And then he says, then we will come and abide with you. Now that shows that Christ Jesus not only dwelling in our heart as a guest in our drawing room, controlling our life, abiding in us fully, just like Ephesians 5:18, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit, similar idea. When Christ dwells in our heart, not for name's sake he is dwelling, but he is dwelling fully, occupying the center part of our life, controlling us. And we are conscious of his presence in us, his indwelling in us. And we give him the charge to be the master and the guide, or the one who controls our life. So that's what Apostle Paul means here when he says, beloved, I pray that Christ may dwell in your heart. Now how many things we have seen now? Paul's prayer for them. Christ may dwell in our hearts. That means you are allowing him to be the Lord of your life. And then you are going to be rooted and grounded in him. You will be established, stable and firm. Then you are going to comprehend the love of Christ. You will be gripped by the love of Christ. And then you will be filled with the fullness of God. And God will be exhibited. You will enjoy God, and God will be shown or manifested through your life. Now before all the four things can happen, what is necessary? You should be strengthened in the inner man. You should be strengthened in the inner man. Be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Now what is inner man? What does it mean by inner man? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's not written there. You see, the summary. Be strengthened. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Well known verse it is. What Apostle Paul says there? 2 Corinthians 4:16, referring to all the troubles and problems in his life, afflictions in his life, he says, we are not worried, we do not lose our heart, you know, he says that. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose our heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now Paul says, our outward man is perishing. Referring to, very clear, physical body. Because of his sufferings. Because of he traveled a lot. Because of the opposition, the attack, the sufferings he had to face. My outward body is perishing. But he says my inward body, inward man is being renewed. So there is outward man, there is inward man. Paul reminds us. In Romans 7:22 also, that idea is there. No need to go. So, outward man we all understand. The body, no. And inward man, that speaks of our spiritual part. By the outward man, we look at the, you know, we relate with the earthly things. And we need the outward man to live, of no doubt about it. The physical body, the physical part. But the spiritual part to relate with God, inner part is there. And in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 we read, that was the part dead in sin, because of sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he accepted him as our Savior, he quickened us. That is the idea there. He revived the dead part of our spirit part, the dead spirit part. He revived. And by the power of the Spirit of God, our spirit part was quickened or revived, and got new life. And that new man or inner man, that spiritual part should be just like we care for our outward man, we need to care for our inward man also. We should remember that just like our outward man, inward man also has many facilities. Our inward man can see. Our inward man can hear. And we have a facility in our inward man to taste. And we have our inward man can feel. All these things are written in the Bible. And also, our inward man needs, just like the outward man needs our care, our inward man also needs exercise. And our inward man needs cleansing. Our inward man needs nourishment, food. Our inward man needs renewal. Our inward man needs adornment. Have you read that? In 1 Peter chapter 3. There we see God values the beauty of the inward man. See, not only about adornment. God looks at our inward man. God is not at all bothered about our outward man. But we are bothered about our outward man. We give more food and we clothe our body. We do all kinds of things for our outward man. But remember, God is concerned about our inward man, not outward man. God is interested. And also, God does everything. God works in our life, not from outward man, but from inward man. God works from outward man. God works from inward man, and God works from inward man. And Paul's prayer is, I pray in that part, you care for inward man. You make sure your inward man is strong and strengthened by, strengthened day after day. So Paul's prayer is, strengthened in the inward part. Now why is it necessary? A believer should be strong in his inward man, spiritual life. Just like we are concerned about our physical strength, Paul says you should be concerned about your spiritual strength. Why? Why is it necessary? That's what Paul said, in Ephesians chapter 3, 14. For this reason I pray. Which reason? For this reason I pray that you should be strong in the inward part, in the inner man. Which reason? What is the reason? There again, Bible scholars have different idea. Now we will have to, we read and we refer, we consult many great men of God, and finally we come to our own conclusion. That's the way we do. We don't simply follow anybody. Actually, Jesse verse chapter 3 verse 1, Paul says, for this reason, then I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, then there is a diocese. Now what happened there? It seems, generally many, they will think, verse 14, for this reason, the answer to for this reason is in 13. But when you go through, when you read verse 1, we understand, Ephesians chapter 3, 1, Paul began to write, for this reason, Then he, when he wrote about the Gentiles, he went away. It's in parenthesis. He took another turn. He wrote so many things which he came as it in his mind. Then now in verse 14 comes back to the same position. For this reason, I bow my knees. So, we can notice that the reason why we need strength, the reason is the end of chapter 2. In the end of chapter 2, what do we have? In the end of chapter 2, Paul says about Christians, believers, position in Christ, in the church. We are part of the body of Christ. So when Paul wrote about Christian believers' position in Christ, in the church, then he says, I bow my knees and pray to God that you may be strong, you may be strengthened in your inward part, in your inner man, because you need much strength to live as a, not listening, as a student. You need much strength to live as a patient. You need much strength to live as what? As a Christian. As a member in the body of Christ. As a member in Christ. As somebody in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't forget Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. You may be strengthened in your inward part, because he says that to live Christian life, we need much spiritual strength. No, I can't explain various area, various aspects or various, you know, area where we need the strength of God. I'm not going there. But you think of any area in Christian life, for all the area in Christian life, we need the strength that comes from God. We will experience it only certain times. Many a times, especially if you don't, if our role, there are many Christians, many believers, they have nothing to do for the Lord. They don't have any interest for the Lord. They have nothing to do with the things of God. So they got saved, baptized, attending the assembly, and finished. They are not worried about spiritual strength or spiritual weakness or spiritual failure. But all those who are worried, all those who are anxious, all those who are concerned about doing something for God, living a Christian life, living a true believer life, true Christian life, then they will come to know occasionally, oh, I have no strength today. I lost the strength today. I need more strength to live a Christian life. So a Christian, when we begin to really live a Christian life, we will know how much more spiritual strength we need to live as an ordinary Christian, to defend our faith, to serve the Lord, to face all the struggles in life, to suffer patiently, and to trust the Lord, to live a faithful life, a holy life, a pure life, to face temptation, to face the evil one, face the evil forces and so on. We need much spiritual strength. Without the strength of God, we cannot survive. Let me take few minutes more. How is it possible? In 1 John 2, how is it possible? In 1 John 2, we have a reference there. 1 John 2:14 I have been given there. I told you just a while ago, Apostle John is writing to the young men, fathers and little children. To the young men he wrote in 1 John 2:14, young men, remember that? Strong. Why? The word of God abides in you. So how is it possible? How to be strong? Now we should not forget that. I'm not going there because we are dwelling here only. We are going to dwell here only. But that is there. How to be strong? That is the only way. Taking enough. Just as How to be strong physically? Take 5 times food. You don't take 3 times food. So you don't take 2 times, you know. 5 times at least. We all take food. I take 5 times. If I don't take, I become weak. And anybody, you know. So food, spiritual nourishment is necessary. No doubt about it. But here Paul says something else. So I don't forget that aspect. We need spiritual food. Peter says, John says, Paul says, and so on. To be strong, we need to take the word of God, the milk, the meat. We need to feed on Christ, the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 6. But here you can notice 4 interesting truths about enjoying spiritual strength. That's very interesting. 4 lessons. Very quickly we shall see that. Number 1. Paul says in verse 16. What is that? It is God's special gift. You see, it is written there. Paul's prayer. He would grant you. Remember that. Paul says, my beloved Ephesian brothers and sisters, this strength of God is God's special grand gift. It is true you read the Bible. It is true you feed on the word of God. It is true you do have spiritual exercise. Yet, remember, it is God who strengthens you and me. So that is one thing we need to remember. It is God's special gift. Without the work of God, we shall be helpless. Even after reading hundreds of pages, even after praying many hours, even after doing all kinds of spiritual exercise, we cannot simply think, oh, because I did this thing, I am going to be strong today. No. For every moment we need strength that comes from God graciously as his gift. So we need to pray, Lord, you strengthen me. You strengthen our people. Strengthen the people of God as Apostle Paul did. And the second thing about we need to remember there, it is through his spirit. Verse 16, in the same place it is written. Through his spirit. God works through the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. All the work of God today in our life, and through our life is through the Spirit of God. So the strength of God comes to us. God empowers, energizes, or God, you know, strengthens us through the Spirit of God. Just as the Lord said in Acts 1:8, you know, when the power of God will come upon you, when the Spirit of God shall come, you shall receive power when Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Every born again child of God has the Spirit of God indwelling, and God is working, infusing that power through the Holy Spirit. And the third thing we need to remember is, in the same verse, you know, it's an ongoing experience. You see, in English, I do not know how you really understand. I do not know. I'm not an English man. How an English man will know, I do not know. But in Hindi, I know. There it is written, Belavandu hote jao. What does it mean? Uske samaj se belavandu hote jao. Hote jao means, it's not ho jao. Ho jao, hote jao. Difference is there. What is that? There is no Hindi man also here. No English man, no Hindi man. Belavandu hote jao means it's a continuous experience. It's not only just for a one-time experience. You should be continuously keep on being strengthened. It should be an ongoing experience. Why? Because we need strength every day, every moment. Today I have strength, spiritual strength, for example. And tomorrow it won't be there. Why tomorrow? After half an hour it may not be there. You don't understand? Now, I don't know whether you have experienced it or not. I have experienced so many times. Cried many times. Not before you. Because feeling very bad. Feeling very sad because there was
utterly an absence of strength and power. There was nothing. You need to try to stand for God. You need to try to do something, then you understand you have power or no, strength or not. Okay, let me go very quickly. It's an ongoing experience about Apostle Paul. We read Acts 9:22. As an young convert, we read there, Luke writes that Saul increased all the more strength, more in strength. I like that in Malayalam. Melkumel balam pravish. Melkumel balam. Hindi I don't know. Remember, that means he increased from strength to strength. Keep on growing in drawing strength from the Lord and continuously enjoying the strength of God. So this strengthening experience. So the strength in the inward man should be an ongoing experience. Every day, every moment, we need the help of God to experience it. Three things I told you. It's a special God's special gift. And it's through His Spirit alone. That means if the Spirit of God is quenched, if the Spirit of God is hurt, if the Spirit of God is grieved, just like Samson, we have no time to go there. We'll see later on. And fourth one is, it is according to His riches. According to His riches in glory. Now, according to His riches in glory means, that's wonderful, you know. How much power God can give us? How much strength the Lord can give you and me? Little bit. Apostle Paul says, according to the riches of His glory. In Ephesians, you know, we will read the word riches repeatedly. Paul wants to say, our God is a rich God. Our God, the mercy of God, He is so rich in His mercy. He is so rich in His grace. He is so rich in all His qualities or goodness. So we can experience enough grace, enough strength, enough mercy. There is no shortage of strength or power with God. So Paul wants to say the fourth thing. It's according to the riches of His glory. Or in other words, you can get enough strength. That's why in verse 20 he says, you know, he worships God. To Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory. Because Paul says that our God is able to do exceedingly, I like that word, abundantly, above all that we speak or ask. So God is able to do much more. So Paul says that, don't worry, don't think that you cannot enjoy the strength of God. No need to be weak, feeble and helpless. There is enough strength available with the Lord. Only thing we need to come to the Lord. Only thing, ask the Lord, Lord, you strengthen me. Of course, we need to fulfill the requirements. We need to come to the Lord. We need to make sure there is nothing is there that will grieve or hurt the Spirit of God, quench the Spirit of God, and we are close to the Lord. And then ask the Lord, Apostle Paul says it is, God will strengthen us and help us. Very quickly, all the prayer points, everything together. Paul says you should be strengthened in the inner man. It's God's special gift. Through His Spirit, ongoing experience, according to the riches of His glory. And then when you experience such wonderful strength and power of God working in us, we shall experience Christ dwelling in our heart, controlling our life. Then we shall be rooted and grounded in Him, established in Him, comprehending the love of Christ, gripped by it, and we shall enjoy the fullness of God, enjoying and exhibiting. May God help us that we may examine our level of strength today, and how much do we care for our inner man, and
Don't forget, I referred to 1 Peter chapter 3. God values the beauty of the inner man. God looks at the inner man. And how much do we care for our inner man? And so many things are there, but the most essential thing is our inner man must be strengthened. We must be strengthened in our inner man, and as a result of that, experiencing all these things and ultimately enjoying the fullness of God, exhibiting the fullness of God. May the Lord's name be glorified.